Now to our guest speaker. His name is Ian Steele, as you know, because it's been publicised for weeks on end. He is one of the members of the very well-known Steele family, which owns and runs the independent funeral directors Richard Steele and Partners Limited.
Right, hopefully this will work out. It's a slight schoolboy error in as much as I forgot my PowerPoint presentation because it was on the server at work and realised I hadn't actually put it on my laptop. So I had to just sneakily bring it in, so hopefully it'll work. Firstly, a huge thank you for this opportunity to talk. I'm conscious that, yes, we are perhaps your slightly benevolent landlord. And as I say, Chesil Street will come up in passing. And I'm also slightly conscious that I'm an esteemed company from that point of view, and that we probably appear in the Hampshire Chronicle slightly less than Jane. We only appear on one page, all right, quite a few times, but Jane appears on every page. I'm not sure of a mayor, in fact, that we have had such high profile. It has been a huge, huge benefit, I think, to both the city and the mayoralty, actually, and a huge thank you to Jane, because I think she's done the city a great deal of good in her year. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. I will, as I say, John said, half an hour. Now, frankly, I can talk for hours on funerals, so I apologise if it's a whistle-stop tour from that point of view. I'm very happy to take some questions, either at the end or as we go along. I'm relatively flexible on things like that. So do interrupt me if you wish. I am fourth generation. I am the fourth generation of my family to be involved in this. Hope this will work. Yes, marvellous. I've wanted to do this job since I was about five. I have told that story for many, many years. And in fact, my mother corrected me only the other day and said, "No, darling, you were three." Apparently, as soon as I could speak, I said, "I'm going to do what Dad does." And actually, if I'm honest, my father was a huge, huge important element to my life and still is. But actually, if I'm honest, my grandfather was way more important. He was mayor of Winchester twice, an alderman of the city, hence why Alderman House at City Road is named after him. And it was he that decided that we would drop the building side of our business. Funeral directors historically were always builders and funeral directors. They sort of went hand in hand. And in fact, my records back at Chesil Street in the office there go back to about 1901. We began in 1860, so we've lost the early years, but about 1901, and there's a book that starts this side for all the building work, and you flip it over, turn it round, and it starts this side for the funerals, and they sort of meet in the middle. So we can actually trace an awful lot of family history for people. Now, when my grandfather first started, and John Steele here was before him, John Steele started, I have his indentures, which is his old apprenticeship, filed on the wall, and he started for 1 shilling a week, rising to 5 shillings a week, and he was, to quote, the indentures said he was not allowed to contract matrimony. Please, my father didn't sign that one, he's been married 3 times. He had to keep his master from harm, no dice, no cards, and no frequenting public houses. We're not quite so strict nowadays. He had TB as a child and spent the first 7 years of his life in hospital, actually at Trelawes. So his father, who was then a Richard Steele as well, very complicated, used to cycle from Alsford Road to Alton to see his son and back again every weekend when you were allowed. So quite incredible. But Stanley, my grandfather, went on to say, be mayor of Winchester twice, which is a great honour. He stood as an independent, none of this politicalness, for the benefit of the city, and actually loved all of that side of things. To say it was he that dropped the building side and said no. A, leaping up and down ladders was not his strong point, and B, actually service to the community was his love. And I think that was something that's ingrained in all of us and part of what we do. My father, Richard Steele, as I say, many of you will know already, has worked in various charities, Winchester Working Men's Housing Society for 50 years, 30 plus years on St. John's charity, the Almshouses. He's a former president of Winchester Musicals and Opera Society, which I am now. He's passed that on. Also former president of Winchester St. John Ambulance. I am now president instead. You know, there's a theme here, which is lovely. And he's done 55 years, I think, in the profession. I've done 30 back with the family firm. I'm delighted that we were able to have him awarded a British Empire Medal in the Queen's Honours last year for his work for Winchester and actually for his charity work as well. So we're very proud of that, which is rather lovely. I'm also currently I'm vice chair of the theatre board, and hence why, say, youth and theatre is very important to us at the board. I was at a board meeting last night. The theatre, as you well know, lurches slightly from one financial crisis to the next, like all theatres. So we're always grateful for anything, and people do sort of forget that it's a charity. But that the lovely Edwardian building that we have there, which actually my grandfather saved from demolition, well, many of you go back, I think, International Superstores, or whatever, wanted to make it a supermarket at one point in the 1960s, so which would be terrible sacrilege, wouldn't it? And Grandpa saved it from demolition at that point, so it is the love of what we do. We have two premises in Winchester, one of which you'll be very familiar with, and the other one possibly as well. City Road was our sort of slightly newer site with parking. Oh, gosh, that's nice in Winchester, isn't it, parking? So we say modern, open. We tend to avoid black and purple. We tend, you know, hence why we dress rather sort of, you know, brightly. I don't think people need to have the look of the sort of old-fashioned In Loving Memory programme, if you remember that, all those for the television people. And Chesil Street, we've been on the site of Chesil Street for well over 100 years, but we'll come back to that. And then we've got some exciting plans, which I'll talk about in a moment as well. How do I fill my day? Basically, what I still enjoy about this profession is that no 2 days are the same. I don't know how busy I'm going to be tomorrow, let alone next week, let alone next month, let alone next year. The next phone call could be somebody of 100 who's passed away. The next phone call could sadly be somebody of only a few months who's passed away. We never know that. And actually, we pick up the phone and we deal immediately with a person that's on that phone. It depends entirely on how they are. They could be actually full of the joys of spring themselves, because actually it's a release, it's a relief, they're happy, we've had a long life. Just the same, they could be very angry, they can be very cross, they can feel cheated about the fact that they're having to call us at that point, or they felt that something's gone wrong. Likewise, they could be so upset they can't make a decision. At all, and we just gently guide people through everything that we need to do, and if they can make one decision a day, that's brilliant. If they can make 20 decisions in the hour that we spend with them, that's fine as well. Everything is taken at an individual pace, and that's what we try and focus on. You know, every funeral is unique, and that's very much our viewpoint, because it reflects the individual. So we talk about all sorts of options. We think through, as it says here, the venue, a religious or non-religious funeral. I mean, if you, for example, Australia, New Zealand, probably 90% of funerals are non-religious now. Now, are we going that way in the UK? I'm not sure. The church in this area particularly is still very, very important to many people. You know, Winchester is a beautiful city, we have lots of lovely villages with lots of lovely churches. So we deal a lot with the clergy locally anyway, which is important. It's all about personalisation now. Again, when I first started 30 years ago, a death at the weekend would have resulted in a funeral by Thursday or Friday. Now that's sort of unheard of, in as much as people need time to get things organised, there's a lot to arrange. The certification, doctors don't do a full day's work anymore. So it's always a bit slower in terms of preparation of paperwork. So everything just takes that little bit longer, and actually it gives time for people to think about what they would like. If I knew now, 5 years ago, that I was going to spend so long on things like Photoshop, tweaking people's photographs and, you know, taking out the hand that's sort of sitting on somebody's shoulder, or, you know, lifting a few bits here and there to make them look better, you know, everything has changed. We sort of discuss it in the trade as the Princess Diana effect. When you consider that's what, 20 years ago or plus, actually people suddenly realised that they could think about music. They could think about photographs. They could think about personalisation. They could have family involvement in terms of doing a reading or a eulogy or a tribute or whatever you describe it as. It's all those elements that are now coming to the fore. And actually, why not, to be perfectly honest? And actually, little things like photographs even. You know, we take photographs of a birth, we take photographs of a marriage, we take photographs through life. Up to a point, why don't we take photographs of the flowers or friends that have gathered for the funeral and things like that? Because actually, it is part and parcel of that whole family experience. Now, we're not going back to the Victorian era. Don't get me wrong, because I think they have quite a lot to answer for sometimes. But at the same time, it is about all about that sort of personalisation, you know, which makes a huge difference. Music. Music is hugely important now at a funeral. We have a lot of discussions about what's appropriate, and up to a point, you name it, we've played it. I can assure you. I mean, you know, from the lightly classical through to the, you know, the Gracie Fields, wish me luck as you wave me goodbye, to always look on the bright side of life, Monty Python, through to, you know, Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. quite genuinely. Family thought it was hilarious. I'm not sure the congregation thought it was hilarious, but the family thought it was absolutely hilarious, and it just came from nowhere, and everybody went... then they got it. But all that... But actually, again, why not? You know, as I say, I'm not trying to trivialise it at all, but actually, you are there to celebrate somebody's life, and I think that makes a huge, huge difference. America is... still has quite a lot of influence over what we do, but likewise, actually, we have a bit of influence back. They still are very, very, very speedy with their funerals over there. I mean, you know, I would struggle to get on a plane and actually arrive in time for any of my American friends' funerals, because everything is 2-3 days maximum. I mean, they don't... I was lecturing at the States about 5 years ago on English cremation, and a room full of funeral directors... like this, and I said, oh, an average time is about 10 days, 2 weeks. And there were like 300, because they just couldn't cope with that at all as a concept. Everything happens very, very speedily. But they've created over there, and it's starting to creep in here, what's described as a direct service, a direct cremation, which is this sort of package where you, the death happens, you trundle off, nobody attends, nothing happens, and you're presented back with a set of ashes. It's a little bit like your family pet. And I don't... Now, there is a... And fun enough, actually, if I'm brutally honest, we've sold two of those this week to families. Because that's what they want. They are very practical. They're going to have a Thanksgiving afterwards. Actually, we don't need to attend that part. We're going to focus on this bit instead. So it is coming, and it's there as an option. And that's what I'm trying to say, is we can be everything to everybody depending on what they want to do and what they want to achieve. So it is coming. What's gone wrong in the States, and we're trying to avoid here, is that they have therefore polarised into direct cremations are seen as inexpensive, but because they're at-need funerals, or their proper funerals, as they call them, of course, are so focused on the casket, the plot, that, you know, and you're looking at £20,000 versus £2,000 over there, you know, and we don't have that huge differential. So it is a little bit different. But we talk through all the facilities for viewing, you know, in terms of whether somebody wants to come into the chapel to see somebody or not. And that, again, very much a family decision, and actually has a slightly sort of geographical change to it. There's much, much more viewing probably in the north than there is in the south here. The coffin going home is still quite traditional in Wales and certain other areas. Do we do it here very often? Not really, but it's there. We talk about, you know, clothing and dressing people, because I think actually, even if you're not going to see somebody in the chapel of rest, I think once you've chosen clothing for them to wear, or they've chosen their own, somehow you can sort of visualise them. And that makes quite a lot of difference as well. So it's that little detail that makes a, that makes a big difference. But we talk through, as I say, transport, which I'll come to anyway. We talk about all the paperwork. I mean, there's mountains of paperwork, and people often go, gosh, there's a lot of paperwork. Yes, there is, because it's the legal importance, particularly for a cremation, you can't go back on it. So from that point of view, you need to get all the bits of paper in the right place at the right time. It's why the registration is so important, to get that right and make sure, because actually, I've had it, if you spell a name wrong at the registrar, then that completely throws them into turmoil, because they can't cope with that at all. So it's all those sort of things that we chat through, which is very important. And we talk about the likely costs, which is important. We don't ask for any money in advance. That's not how we work. We've survived nearly 160 years as a family business. We are probably one of the only funeral directors in Hampshire that don't ask for any money in advance. And many of the bigger groups who are still trading under the old family names, so you wouldn't necessarily know that it was owned by a bigger group, are a lot more expensive than we are and will ask for a lot more in advance than we ever would. But those are the sort of important things, which is fine. Local crematoria, from our point of view, we tend to use Basingstoke, probably most. Then you've got Southampton, slightly a victim of its era, shall we say, as a building. But Wessex Vale over at Hedge End, we use quite a lot as well. Churches locally, that's my portrait from the portrait exhibition, sorry. Jane was in that as well. We were very sweetly chosen as one of the 100 people in the portrait exhibition at the Great Hall. I don't know if you saw it, but there's a book, which actually was hilarious, and they've raised £50,000 or £60,000, haven't they, for two or three local charities, so it was lovely. So we deal with all local crematoria, so we talk about music with that. Cremation only, Woking was the first crematorium in the UK, I think it was 1883, yes. And it wasn't until 1968, the year I was born, that in fact cremation became 50-50 in the UK. Prior to that, mostly burials. Now hovers around 75% probably cremation, 25% burial. The bigger the conurbation, so London or Southampton or something like that, then you're probably up at 90%, 95% cremation, 5% burial, because it depends on availability and things like that, which is important. But churches are important to us and the local clergy are important to us. We probably deal with the best part, I think about 24 churches in Winchester or something ridiculous like that, and we deal with about 40 in the local area, including all the villages. So that's a lot of clergy. That's a lot of information to have in your head, really, to be honest, because you need to know who they are, what they deal with, what their little nuances are. We all know that clergy can be unique with their things. My classic phrase. My father said not that long ago on the telephone to a clergy, but there is an element of black humour by nature. We have, that's how we deal with it. But my father says so. Has your wife had any joy with the vicar? What was lovely was he couldn't understand that we were absolutely killing ourselves in the office at the time. But that's all part of it. But we've had open air services. I've hosted services at Barton Stacey on the old parade training ground up there. We had a huge service open air there. I've used the Oliver's Battery just beside the little church there. You've got that lovely green. And we had an open-air service there with some speakers and things like that. I've hosted services actually in our garden of remembrance at Chesil Street for a proper funeral as well. So actually, nothing is out of bounds, and that's what makes a huge difference. Chesil House. You know the premises probably better than I do, almost, bits of it. We're very conscious that we're sitting on quite a lot of square footage that isn't doing an awful lot, and have done for quite a long time now. So our exciting next stage is, and we've gone for planning permission, subject to it being confirmed in the next week or two. Our proposal is that all of this area, which is obviously from the weirs looking back, which is the old workshops and the old store and the garaging, is in fact can become a 100-seater chapel. We're not trying to compete with the churches, and the clergy are completely behind me because I've had a long chat with them and showed them all the plans. But what we are very conscious of nowadays is that funerals, again, we're about that personalisation, we're about that family element and that gathering side of things. And actually what we found is that if we can host 100 seats in this half of the building, for example, then in fact this bit, which is actually this bit here overlooking the water, we can then have a reception for the same people. So the plan is to have the funeral, if we want to, on site, and actually we'll include, what we're trying to do is create the crematorium environment of the chapel without the 15-mile journey to either Southampton or Basingstoke or Hedge End, and actually without that, okay, we've now left our venue, we now need to go off to the crematorium, we'll see you in an hour and a half, when most people disappear. And trying to keep everything on one site, which I think is important. So we looked at this quite long and hard, not going to be cheap, bless his heart, but, and the other thing is that by creating that crematorium environment, what we're also trying to do is stop people going, come on. And I am more conscious than anybody else of the fact that crematoria nowadays are, services have to be half an hour or so. And again, as this personalisation is coming on board and people want to talk about people and share their experiences and share their stories, I don't want to be standing at the back going to the clergy, we've got to go. Whereas actually my hope is that this, if you want to be there all morning, you could be there all morning. If you want to be there all afternoon, you could be there all afternoon. It doesn't matter. So actually, it's part about sharing that life experience and expanding onto that, which I think is what we're trying to achieve. Fingers crossed, and if it all goes to plan, we should be ready by this time next year. So 100-seater, people can still go to the crematorium if they choose, but actually we're getting more and more, I think, when we have this facility, that we will probably quietly carry on. But they've had the gathering and they've spent time with their friends and their family, which is important. Underneath, it doesn't show, but underneath the balcony that we currently have, we're also going to create a little 20-seater chapel with a big glass window that looks straight down our river as well. So for those smaller, more intimate gatherings. And the plan is to have full audio-visual facilities, all the music facilities that we need. We can run through photographs and tributes that way. The plan will be to webcast it or live stream it to family who are abroad who can't be there, and actually even record the ceremony onto a stick for family to see later if they couldn't be there. The world has become a hugely smaller place, even the 30 years that I've been doing this. And actually, whereas families tended to stick relatively close by, I've got a half sister in Melbourne, Australia, a half brother in New Zealand, actually, this is just as important element for them to be involved if they chose to, rather than leaping on a plane and flying all the way over. So that is our sort of next exciting way forward, which is what we're working on currently. We obviously discussed vehicle options. So our traditional fleet, this in fact is Alan Ball's funeral at the cathedral, the football player. Something completely different. That's a motorcycle hearse. I have ridden on the back of that. I had a crash helmet on. My little tails were flapping as we came back up the motorway. I'm not going to say. But I was holding on. But actually, again, vehicles and things like that, why not make it individual? We've got access to... This is the big new Rolls Royce, the Phantom. That's actually Nottingham. They're friends of mine. We hired that the other day. It's as stately as a galleon. It's like turning the Titanic. It's so huge, this thing. But actually, why not? We've got access to pink vehicles. We've got access to silver vehicles. We've got access to VW camper vans, Land Rovers. I think there's even a Only Fools and Horses trailer being pulled by a three-wheeler. Not sure that's necessarily tasteful, but anyway, that's a different matter altogether. But actually, why not make it that celebration of life? We obviously discussed coffin choices with the family. So traditional, simple veneers suitable for a burial or a cremation. We do a huge number of the willow, bamboo, Somerset willow, plain cardboard. Now, obscurely, plain cardboard is probably actually slightly more expensive than a simple veneer, but I liken it slightly to the organics aisle in Sainsbury's. In as much as you just pay, because it's slightly bespoke, it's slightly more expensive than your everyday range. And then obviously colourful coffins, and this is a Spitfire coffin, But actually, colourful can personalise anything that you want on a coffin. And I've had, in fact, we've got one this week, which is a farmyard type sort of farm scene with his own tractor and his own detail on it and things like that. And actually, why not? Again, we did one with a flatbed lorry, and it had his own flatbed lorry on the coffin and pictures and things like that. So if that's what you want, that's fine. Woodland funerals, so green burials. We tend to work with three. I'm trying to get a site a bit more local to us, but we do work with three sites. So South Downs over on an East Meon sort of area, Chalderton, put on the Funnough Clarendon Marathon route, over on the Chalderton estate that way, and then St Mary Bourne north of here. So we're just, but I think something more local might be quite nice for that whole sort of woodland feel to it. Because not everybody wants a sort of slightly more formal burial, which I think is important. As I say, all of you will be aware, because I think you've hosted things in our beautiful garden, it's a little oasis of loveliness in the city, I always think, our garden. I had a family go into it the other day who went, I never ever knew this was here. And it's so peaceful. Yeah, but yet we're in the heart of the city. We are very lucky there, as I say, and that's not going to, part of this development is that not going to be touched at all, because that's very important to us. But you know, our annual memorial service, which is this year is on the 9th of July, is open to actually anybody who wants to come, even if you haven't, if you just want to remember somebody, always led by a different member of the clergy. We always do a collection for a local charity, opportunity for tea afterwards, that sort of thing. And we find that out, I think we're in our 23rd year of our memorial service. We're doing something wooden, so it's never rained. We've always hosted it outside. We have been exceedingly lucky because of that. We've had rain just before, we've had rain just after. But I think the power of prayer means that we have about an hour's window of lovely weather, which is perfect. But I have to say that does provide a lot of peace and tranquility, as it says there, for families, and I think that makes a huge difference. And actually, you've got the opportunity to chat during the week, if you go in, with other families that are going through the same thing. So actually, there's some lovely friendships that have been made with totally unconnected people who are now actually really good friends through it. So we are very appreciative of that. Online giving, I mean, you know, the internet now, you know, IT, etc., is vitally important. Fundraising and memory giving is, you know, hugely important to us. I think that between us and my Bishop's Waltham office, which obviously Nigel Chamberlain partners, we process something in exceeding about £350,000 a year in donations in memory of people. And a lot of that now is processed through the website. People understand that they can give and it's safe and all that sort of thing. We use Much Loved, which actually is a charity in itself. So in fact, they plough everything back into the facility for this. I know Just Giving went through some slightly adverse press a few months ago in terms of the percentage that they take and things like that. But we felt very happy with Much Loved because they were exclusive for this. And in fact, what we found recently, I had a gentleman phone me the other day and said, look, I buy the Chronicle, he said, but every week I check your website to see who's died. And you haven't got this person on it yet. I didn't realise that people checked it quite so often, I said. But actually it's coming, and it's really interesting. And I found that, you know, it was something that we started gently, and actually it has suddenly grown that people are starting to think, oh, I know that such and such has died, I'll get the details. Because we put up the details of when the funeral is, if people want it, the location of it, you know, what the donations are to, and a little bit of family and things like that. And then we gift that site, so it's a unique site for everybody, and we gift that site to the family so that they can use it for photographs, they can use it for memories, or if they want to do something in the future for charity, they can use it as a giving site for themselves. So if they decide to run the London Marathon or Wing Walk, I still think you're completely balmy for doing that, because there's no way I'd have got on there. Then actually you can use it for that. And actually families have found that very very appreciative. We do get a lot of discussion about, you know, planning your funeral in advance. And actually it's a very practical thing to do. We use two, Perfect Choice and Golden Charter, to make sure that all is fine. There's a lot of daytime television. Gosh, it's boring, isn't it? There's a huge number of these adverts, aren't there? These over 50 plans at, you know, £5 a week and all that, £5 a month, things like that. My worry for those is that they're slightly the sort of PPI mis-selling element of the future. Because actually I've had two or three people that have come back to us recently and said, you know, my father is 92 and he's been paying into this for 30 years. The guaranteed sum is X, but actually I've worked it out that he's paid in Y, but he's only going to get X. And if he stops, he doesn't get anything. And I just, I find that a real, real frightening element, because I think actually it will throw the whole thing into an element of sort of disrepute, and I don't think that's right. Which is why funeral plans from a registered provider are very safe indeed, and actually quite a good way of forward planning. You know, we're not terribly pushy with them, if I'm brutally honest. We tend to find that if you're buying a funeral plan for yourself, if I'm honest, you tend to underpurchase. You go, I don't want any fuss, I'll be fine, something simple, absolutely fine. Whereas actually, if your family came in and chose a funeral for you, they probably would want something a little bit nicer. So there's an element of underselling for yourself, which is always interesting. I'm also a great believer in being, actually, don't part with this if you are asset rich, because it can come out of your estate, but cash poor. Or, more importantly, if you've got the funds and are having a jolly time, then go off on the round the world cruise instead. And live life now. Because actually, it will be dealt with as part and parcel of everything that's fine. I'm not saying that to be flippant with it, but actually, enjoy life. Because actually, I think nowadays, we need to, you know, that's very, very important. You know, which makes a huge difference. But we do, it's quite, the only useful thing for this is, and it'll be interesting to see which government comes in soon, the useful thing maybe for a funeral plan sometimes is to move funds into a secure element, you've paid for it, it's ring-fenced, it's all fine, then you can be assessed for nursing home care or elements like that. So it's no good having your bottom drawer of funds because they'll count it as part and parcel of your assets. Whereas actually if you've spent it on a funeral plan, it's guaranteed and sorted, but actually it's secure and it's not then part and parcel of the money that you can use. So it's quite a good way sometimes of people just offloading a little bit of money and doing it that way. The other alternative that we do, and I launched recently again, it's available on our website, is a form that I designed, which is My Funeral Wishes, in fact I've got one here, which is not a funeral plan, nothing else, but it is an element of what I would like, or more importantly, what I don't want, because that's equally as important. So it talks about, you know, this is where I'm going to be cremated, I'm buried. Last week was part of the big conversation was Dying Awareness Week, and there were some death cafes in one or two of the churches and things like that. It was a little bit in the newspapers, but it's growing, but not quite there yet. And actually, that big conversation with actually both the generation above, but actually just as importantly the generation below, actually shares that knowledge, shares what you would like, shares what you don't like. Because I thought the most difficult thing for me when a family come into my office, sit on my sofa and go, well, Mum never discussed it, it was never going to happen to her. And they go, not only am I coping with the bereavement, but I'm then coping with the, am I making the right choice? Would this be what she wanted? I don't know. She never talked about it, or he never talked about it. It was never going to happen. And actually, that's really difficult for some families. So I think it is part and parcel of what, you know, it's part and parcel of life. Therefore, have that discussion with both the generation above, but actually just as importantly, the generation below, because you don't know when it's going to happen to anybody. And that's, you know, that's the big thing that we've done recently, which is important. As I said before, you know, we're members of National Association of Funeral Directors. There are some funeral directors who are not members of any professional trade association at all. And that also worries me slightly. This year, bless its heart, I'll come back to that thing. But Select Independent Funeral Homes is a European group of family-owned businesses. In fact, I'm European Secretary for that and have been for 10 years. So it's all the European groups now. But I can call it a European group anymore if we're going to be thrown out, I'm not sure. But but we actually talk about family issues. Actually, the difference between us and Holland and Norway and Germany and things like that, actually from a funeral point of view, subtle differences, but actually the issue of being a family business and how you deal with that are probably exactly the same, which is hugely important. We're recommended by the Good Funeral Guide. They came and assessed us only this year, and there's a lovely glowing report, bless their hearts, on we're one of three funeral directors in Hampshire to be recommended by the Good Funeral Guide. And in fact, two of them are me. one here, one in British Hawthorne. Natural Death Centre, again, the Fair Funerals Pledge in terms of providing a price, things like that. And actually, my really good news, and this is hot off the press, is that we've just been awarded as a finalist for the Winchester Business Excellence Awards. We were nominated, in fact, anonymously by somebody else we didn't know, and they've actually put us forward as the Service Excellence category. So I'm very, very proud of that, and my team, I have to say. So we're going to the awards on the 2nd of June, and fingers crossed, let's see how we get on. But I am very, very, very proud of that indeed, which is lovely. But from my point of view, this is what I do. This is what I am. I think my wife is also a qualified funeral director. We met when I was training in Worthing. She always says, I'm a bit like a stick of rock. If you broke me in half, it would have the word funeral director written inside of me. because I think it is that. We're on duty 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. My mobile phone is never very far away from me. If the phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning, you wake up and you step into that mode immediately. It is what it is. And I think it's great. And I couldn't be prouder of my firm and all the bits that go with it. Yes, we have some fun because that's the nature of the game. And you have to be. Everything that we take on from a Monday morning to a Friday evening is basically 150% of everybody that we're dealing with. And actually, by Friday night, we're pretty exhausted, to be honest, mentally and physically, and that makes a big difference. It's one of the reasons that actually I quite enjoy the theatre work that I do, and many of you might have seen me on stage messing about, because actually it's a bit of escape. And I can go to rehearsal and I can just forget everything and concentrate purely on what I'm doing. And that makes a huge difference to me. But things like, we're delighted, in fact, with the Talking Newspaper. It was a passing comment from Richard Green all those years ago, wasn't it, that says, you're a person in Winchester, you know buildings, does anybody you know got a spare room? And I went, yeah, we have. And since then, I think it's worked really well, and I hope you're happy as well, because I think, as I say, to be in that centre of the community and the heart of Winchester is all about you and really all about us as well from that point of view. But I'm conscious I've spoken for a long time, but I'm happy to take any questions anybody wants. Thank you.